Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband being just and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here we have the divine announcement by the angels. We talked a little bit about this last night. When he brought his first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And in that announcement, not only did the angels recognize and declare glory to God in the highest, but in this pronouncement, he is declared, for unto you is born a Savior. When we try to understand the idea of and the truth of what it means to be a Savior, what is a Savior, the two words are very linked together. He is a Savior, and the word Savior has the root word meaning to save. And so they're really very intimately linked together. A Savior is one who saves. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. The fuller definition of what it means to be a Savior is a deliverer, one who is able to deliver, one who is a preserver, one who makes one whole. The dictionary describes the word save is to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. To rescue someone who is in injury or in peril. To save a suffering one, to save someone who is suffering perhaps from a disease, who needs to be made well, who needs to be restored to health. Another definition, it's to preserve one who is in immediate danger of destruction. To save or to rescue. And finally, it also means to remove every obstacle that would prevent the coming of the Messiah. In the text we read, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then it says, his name shall be called Jesus because he will save his people. And there it has a view of the fact that the coming of the Lord Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament was that he would come as the deliverer from all the oppression that the Israelites, the Jewish people, were under. Now, if we look at these definitions, we have some examples in the Bible about how these definitions are used in the Lord Jesus as he executes and comes to the aid and deliverance of different people. When it comes to the idea of keeping safe and sound from danger and destruction, you remember the disciples were in the boat and those storms were rising up around them. And he says to them, they say to him, Lord, save us. There was impending destruction. They were in danger. And that's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 25. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, there was the occasion of the woman who had been sick. She had an issue of blood. She had some kind of hemorrhagic disease. And she was suffering. And she had suffered at the hands of the physicians. And she said, if I just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she would reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, who touched me? For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me, and she was in that moment healed. She was made whole. She was saved in the sense that she was delivered from the disease that was crippling her. To reserve one from in danger or destruction, to save or rescue. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat and walked towards the Lord Jesus on the water, and all of a sudden he saw the waves and the billows. Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached out his hand and delivered him. So when we think about the idea of a Savior, there are three things that come to mind. There is the one who is saving, the one who is being saved, and the third and probably the most important one is, what is the peril? What is the peril? Very often, in fact, in 2 Peter, Peter was concerned about the fact that it's very easy to go along in life, having come to faith in Christ, but you kind of forget what exactly happened. He was telling them in 2 Peter chapter 1 that you need to progress. You need to keep growing on. Add to your faith, virtue. Because when you don't do these things, you would forget what you have been delivered from. You would forget that your old sins have been forgiven. So those three things are very critical. We need to understand the character and the capacity, the capability of the Savior, the need and the condition of the one who needs saving, and the conditions from which we need to be saved. And that's really how we want to progress as we look at this matter of Christ our Savior. We start with Him. He is our Savior. What qualifies Him to be such? How does the Lord Jesus Christ come to the position of being a Savior? It's a very interesting verse in Hebrews chapter 2. And it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ as He comes into this world. And it says, "For became Him," this is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, "For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things." We had a little bit of this last night. "In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation," the leader of their salvation, "perfect through suffering." What qualifies the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior is that He came into this world that had been under the oppressive nature of sin, under the oppression of the devil. He is the God of this world. He saw all that sin had wrought. He comes in and He experiences in a way none of us could experience the devastating reality of what sin had brought into His own creation. He would walk and He would see how disease and sickness would affect the lives of so many. It says He would be the one who comes to bind the strong man so that He might undo some of these works that are a result of sin. He comes into this world. He comes to the very place where the devastating, where the destruction, where the danger is. He comes right there. And He, passing through the deep temptations in the wilderness of the enemy, He emerges out from that, unstained, unaffected, because of who He is in His nature. He is without sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He is qualified as a Savior because He is not affected by the condition. He demonstrated by the things that He went through, seeing all the impact of sin. He is qualified. That's what this verse means when it says He is made perfect. He is made qualified. He is made demonstrated that He is capable to bring salvation, to lead in this matter of salvation, because He is not impacted by the devastating reality of what sin has wrought and what has come. You turn a couple of pages over to Hebrews chapter 7, we learn what kind of Savior He is. In Hebrews chapter 7, reading from verse 24, "But this man," referring to the Lord Jesus, "because He continues ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood,